Okay, we're starting here on the top of Yudchet Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is discussing what we left off with yesterday, which was a discussion about when tshuva helps. Do tshuva, according to Rabbi Yochanan, helps even after the Gezar Din? It's Mekaret Gezar Dino Shel Adam. Gemara brought a number of situations, proofs that that really was not the fact. So the Gemara made a secondary distinction, which is, that's only true B'tzibur. When it comes to the tzibur, tshuva helps, and it's a that there's the gzar din even after the gzar din. Whereas for yachid, he has to catch it before the gzar din. So now the Gemara on the second line of Yudchet is going to discuss both of those premises. First of all, ugzar din de yachid tanayehi. First of all, the fact that a gzar din of a yachid, whether it can be overcome or not overcome, that happens to be a makloket tanaim. Detanya, hayav Rabbi Meir Omer. Shnaim shalu l'mita v'cholyan shaveh. Two people fall ill. They are bedridden. V'chein shnaim shalu l'gardom. Two people went to court. This is a court with the executioner right there. They went to be judged and possibly executed. L'gardom lidon. Dinan shaveh. And they have the same case. Ze yarad v'ze lo yarad. Those that fell ill were bedridden. One of them descended, one of them did not descend. Meaning one of them got up and was cured, one of them did not. Ze nitzal, veze lo nitzal. For the one who went up to the gardom for the din, one of them was saved, and one of them was not saved. Mipnei ma ze yarad, veze lo yarad, ze nitzal, veze lo nitzal. What accounted for the distinction between the outcomes over here? They both had the same symptoms, they both had the same situation or evidence or case, and yet one of them walks away and one of them doesn't walk away. So why does that happen? Zehit palel vinana, zehit palel velonana. One of them davened and was answered, the other one davened and was not answered. Mipnei ma zinana vizelonana, that just begs the question further on. So the difference is that they one davened and was answered, one davened and wasn't answered, so why was one answered and why not the other? Zehit palel tfilash shleima nana. The one who davened a full-fledged tefillah, as Rashi says, bikavana, v'zelo yitpalel tefillah shleima, lo nana. The one who didn't daven with full kavanah was not answered. Then we have Rabbi Elazar Amar, kan kodim gezar din, kan liachar gezar din. Rabbi Elazar says it makes a difference whether it's before the gezar din or after the gezar din. If it's before the gezar din, then an individual has the ability to change the outcome. When one is dealing with after the Gezar Din, they don't have the ability to change the outcome. There's a perspective of the onlooker versus the reality. You're right, in the reality they're different. From a perspective of the onlooker, they look the same. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Yafet Zakal Adam, Ben Kodem Gezar Din, Ben Achar Gezar Din. Doesn't matter, a person can call out, Tzaka, crying, davening, calling out to Hashem helps, both before the Gezar Din and after the Gezar Din. So we see here differences in opinion with regards to whether Gezar Din has finality to it. Rabbi Yitzchak clearly believes that Tzaka helps you even after the Gezar Din. Doesn't indicate whether it might be harder or more difficult, but that's the assumption that it would be more difficult afterwards. Rabbi Elazar clearly believes that Gezar Din has a certain amount of finality to it and a Yachid cannot overturn that. And then you have the Tanna Kamma, it's not clear whether he is arguing and saying Gezar Din doesn't matter, it's all about how you daven. Or he's saying before the Gezar Din only matters how you daven. It's not clear from that opinion. But you see here that there is a difference of opinion with regards to Yachid, whether the Gezar Din is impactful to the point where he can't retract it. Then the Gemara talks about the second premise, which is Gezar Din de Tzibur mi Mikra. The second premise was that if it was Gezar Din of the Tzibur, you were able to overturn it. You were able to undo it through the Tfilot or the actions of the Tzibur. One pasuk says, in Yirmiyahu Perek Dalet, it says, Kabsi me'ra'ah libeich. Cleanse your heart from evil doing. Uchtiv, and the pasuk in Perek Bet says, Ki im tichabsi baneter v'tar bilach burit. Even if you launder, cleanse yourself with lye, and you put on lots of burit, lots of soap, Nichtam avonech, your sin, or the stain of your sin, lefanai, sits in front of me. So the play on the word is going to be on the word nichtam. Right? The word nichtam means a stain, but over here they're going to play on the word has to be nichtam, chatima. So my love, kan kodem gezar din, kan achar gezar din. Why in one case does Hashem indicate that kabsi meira libech, that you're able to cleanse yourself, you're able to launder yourself, and get rid of the evil, basically do tshuva. On the other hand, the other case where you try to cleanse yourself, Your stain of your sin remains in front of me. So my love, the difference is whether it was before or after the Gezar Din. And here we're talking about the Tzibur. Lo. They're both after the Gezar Din. Below Kasha. Kan the Gezar Din sheyesh imo shvua. That depends on the nature of the Gezar Din. If you have a Gezar Din with a shvua, you can't undo it. Kan the Gezar Din sheyesh imo shvua. If it doesn't have a shvua, then you can undo it. You can have it retracted. Kedir Rav Shmuel Bar Ami. Damar Rav Shmuel Bar Ami. Damri lo Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Amar Rav Yonatan. We have this memra. Minayin the Gezar Din sheyesh imo shvua sheyeinu nikra. How do I know that that's the case, that there's such a distinction between a Gezar Din with a Shvua versus without a Shvua? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, with regards to Eli, when the Nivua comes about his family, it says, V'lachein, nishbati lebeit Eli, im yitchaper avon beit Eli, bezevach u'memincha. The Shvua that Hashem takes, that the family of Eli will permanently be governed by this Gezar Din, and that is, there will be no kapara for the avon of Beit Eli, b'zevach u'b'mincha. No matter how many korbanot they bring, no matter how many menachot that they bring, they will never be able to rectify the sin of Beit Eli. And therefore, they will be punished. We'll see in the remainder of the Gemara here, but one of the things they're punished with is that they will not live a long life. That they die early, they do not have extended life. Amar Rava. Now, here there's some machloket about the girsa, whether it should be Rava or Rabo. See that in Rashi and in Tosafot in a second. Rava b'zevach u'b'mincha inu mitkaper. The pasuk says that zevach mincha don't work. Aval mitkaper b'torah. It leaves open the possibility that limud Torah will be able to overcome the problem. Abaye amar b'zevach u'mincha inu mitkaper, aval mitkaper b'torah u'gmilut chasadim. So zevach u'mincha, korbanot can overcome the problem, but limud Torah, teaching Torah, and gemilut chesed, doing chesed, will overcome that problem. Now here you can see, Rabba v'Abaye d'mibayt Eli ka'atu. Rabba and Abaye come from Beit Eli, which would seem to indicate that either the girsa before was Rabba, or the girsa over here should be Rava. It is a machloket harishonim, what the girsa should be. Rabba da'asak b'Torah, chaya arbein shnin. Rabba who was engaged in Torah, who was a teacher, he was a Rosh Yeshiva, Talmud Chacham, lived for 40 years. Again, he was from Beit Eli, so he had a shortened life, but he made it to 40, even though he probably should have died at 20, he made it to 40 because of his limud Torah, or in teaching of Torah. Abaye dasak b'Torah u'gmilut chasadim, kayashitin shnin. He lived till 60. So he got a bonus 20 years being involved in gemilut chesed. So here the Gemara makes a clear indication in terms of the value of gemilat chesed, that it's on parity with limud Torah. Rava, Rabba's life was extended 20 years for limud Torah, and Abaye's life is extended for 40 years because of his gemilut chesed, an additional 20 years. Let's talk about one thing at a time. So we'll talk about Rava and Rabba. Both Rashi and Tosafot raise the issue. Rashi says, Kach shmati, u'shchitat chulin perek zroa, shkran de Rava lav kohenu. You look in perek zroa and chulin, Rava's clearly not a kohen. V'shema imo mi beit Eli haita. So Rashi tries to justify having the girsa of Rava in here, even though Rava is not a Kohen, which would indicate that he's not from Beit Eli, says his mother was from Beit Eli, and that's how it turned out that he has this curse on him. V'yesh gorsim Rabba v'Abaye, u'mefarishla b'Rabba bar Nachmani. That Rabba bar Nachmani, who was a Kohen. And Tosafot says something similar. He says, Rava chaveru shel Abaye lo avi Kohen. Brings the same proof as Rashi. V'hocha Rabba chaveru shel Rav Chisda. And here it's Rabba, the friend of Rav Chisda, who is a Kohen. So Tosafot and Rashi are grappling with this issue that Rava is not a Kohen. Rashi is willing to maintain the girsa of Rava and just say that his mother was from Beit Eli. Tosafot discards the girsa completely and says it's got to be Rabba over here. And then on top of that he says, don't we know that Rabba was Oseik b'chesed? Amarina b'perka chelik, amarle Abaye the Rabba, mar ha-Torah ha-gmilut chesedim. Eshlomar di makom makom Abaye asak tfei minei. So he says that it's all a matter of gradations, gmilut chesed. Rabba was gomel chesed, but that's not enough. Be a hag with gmilut chesed, you have to be a person of gmilut chesed to the nth degree. It's not enough just to be a person who does chesed, like everybody does chesed. And we know that the Rabba did raise Abaye and Rabba, who were Yitomim, he brought them up, and they were his Talmidim, both Talmidim, who later then grow up to be quasi-Talmidei Chaverim Ito, because they argue with him. Many places in Shas, we find Abaye and Rabba, or Rava and Rabba arguing, and they both were brought up by Rabba. So we see that that's not enough to be called Gmilut Chesed. Gmilut Chesed means that this is a person of Chesed, or persona of Chesed. It's not enough that they did Gmilut Chesed. They have to be a person who's known for their great Gmilut Chesed. So that's the difference that Tosafot suggests between Abaye and Rabbah. Even though, again, if you put Rava in, then it's less of an issue, because the Gemara never says that Rava was a Gomel Chesed, as opposed to Rabba, who was a Gomel Chesed. So that's another reason to maybe believe that the Girs over here is Rava. Although, as Tosafot points out, the Gemara clearly states in Baba Batra that Rava lived 40 years. And that's what the Gemara over here is saying. People don't learn Torah. They did learn Torah. When we talk about that Rabba and Abaye learned Torah, we're talking about people who dedicated their lives to Torah. The same is true by Gemilut Chesed. It means someone who dedicated their lives to Torah. This is to overcome a serious issue. This is a curse from Hashem that they're not going to have a long life. You're trying to offset such a curse. You need something very powerful to offset that. So it has to be something where you completely dedicate your life to that item or to that thing. Doesn't mean that someone who does this is not a Gomel Chesed. Doesn't mean someone who learns Torah, it's not Lomei Torah. Here we're trying to offset the curse, and they're saying it has to be something that is the entirety of that persona. All right. Tan Rabbanan. Mishpacha achat haita b'Yushalayim, shayu meitea meitim b'nei yud chetshana. That they were passing away at the age of 18. Bo vodiu et Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. They came and spoke to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai about it, and asked what they should do. Amalem, Shema mimishpachat Eliyatem. Maybe you are from the family of Eli. Dichtiv bei. And here is part of the curse that Hashem says in the Shvuah. V'chol marbit beitecha yamutu anashim. That all of the great descendants and numerous people that come from you, yamutu anashim. They will die as they become men, which is around the age of 20. So luchu v'asku b'torah. Go and learn Torah. V'chayu. And then you'll live. Halchu v'asku b'torah v'chayu. It worked. V'ayu korim ota mishpachat Rabbi Yochanan al shemo. And they took on the name or the nickname, the family of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabban Yochanan saved their family. He granted them the ability to live beyond the age of 18, which was significant, keeping their family tree alive. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Inya mishmei d'rav. Minayim l'gzar din shel tzibur she'enu nechtam. How do I know that a gzar din of a tzibur is not sealed? Enu nechtam, what do you mean it's not sealed? Ba'aktiv, nechtam ovunech lefanai. So again, this is the play on the words before, that nechtam is not really mean nechtam in terms of sealed, but nechtam is stain. But obviously, if the stain is always in front of them, then there's a certain amount of sealing of the fate of these individuals. Ela, afagav she'nechtam nikra. That even though it's sealed, it's able to be ripped up. Shenamar, Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. That we're able to beseech Hashem whenever b'chol kareinu elav. Hashem will respond to us anytime we call Him. V'aktiv, dirshu Hashem b'hi matzo. Call out Hashem when He is found. So Gemara answers, hatam b'yachid, hacha b'tzibur. The same distinction that we made before, which is, the yachid can only call Hashem b'hi matzo when he's found. Whereas the tzibur can call b'chol kareinu elav. Anytime you call, Hashem responds. B'yachid eimat. All right, if you say, Dirshu Hashem b'hi matzo, what is b'hi matzo? When is Hashem found that the yachid can take advantage? Amar Rabba baravua ilu asara yamim shebin Rosh Hashanah le'yom ha'kippurim. In the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when the presence of Hashem is there. Which Shaul is saying about the mission in Avot, that when a person learns Torah, that the Shechina is present. So we know that when we do Shabbat Mevarchim with this Shabbat, first part, we say the Hiratzon, and then afterwards we declare the Rosh Chodesh. So they take the Sefer Torah, you would understand when they would declare the Rosh Chodesh. But we actually take it before that. We take it at Mishas Anisim Labotenu. How does it conclude? Chaverim Kol Yisrael. What is the joining force that makes them Chaverim Kol Yisrael? Is that the Torah. So that's why they take the Torah for that part, because of Chaverim Kol Yisrael. So there is a certain amount of unifying force that maybe a person is Lomei Torah, joins him to the broader sense of Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, that maybe you're able to simulate being part of a Tzibur through Limud HaTorah. So that's a possibility of how to reconcile with that Mishnah in Avot. And now, how do we know that these days are special, these 10 days? Vayi, Kaseret HaYamim, Vayigof Hashem et Naval. Naval, this is after the death of Shmuel. David is looking for some help for his men. He actually protects the shepherds of Naval. He takes care of them. And then he sends over 10 men to Naval in order to ask him for food and for supplies for all the good that he's done to him. Naval says, there's so many of these freeloaders running around here. Everybody wants their take because, you know, these marauders that are running around in the desert and everybody wants and there'll be nothing left for me. No way. Take a hike. One of the servants of Nabal gets wind of it and says Nabal really did the wrong thing here. And he tells Abigail, the wife of Nabal. And Abigail runs out, takes supplies out to David and meets him and cuts him off before he comes, basically to kill Nabal and everybody that's there, and says, listen, Nabal, Kishmo. His name tells you who he is. Just leave him alone. Here's the supplies. He definitely made a mistake. She compliments David, praises David, gives him a bracha. She says, look, you don't want this as a stain on your record when you become king. She's indicating already this recognition that he's going to be king. And you don't want this stain on your record, so don't kill them. Then it says, that night, he's drunk and partying because at the end of the harvest or the shearing, the next morning he wakes up, and after the wine is gone, Abigail tells her husband Nabal of all that transpired and how she saved his life. And he falls ill, and he's plagued, and again, Hashem, vayigofuto, and he dies 10 days later. Yud yamim, mayvitayu. How come there was this 10-day period of tarrying before he dies? Samar Rav Yehuda Marav, keneged eser legimot shnatan Nabal of Dei David. There are the 10 legimot, whether those are meals or wine, that he gave to the 10 avadim that David sent to him to ask him for supplies, so he sends them back empty-handed. But when they were there, it seems like he fed them or he did something for them. They took care of those avadim that showed up. So that credit gave him 10 extra days. Rav Nachman Amar Rabbi Baravua, Elu Yud Yomim Sheben Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim. These were the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to give him the opportunity to do tshuva to change the Gzar Din. But once it hit Yom Kippur, Gzar Din came, and that was the end. So he had those 10 days in which he was afforded the opportunity for tshuva. We talk about the brilliance, the strategic maneuvering of Abigail, both in the fact that she cut David off. Number two is that she knows when to tell her husband the news. She doesn't tell her husband the news while he's drunk. She only waits till he's finished in the morning and everything's settled down, and then she tells him. And eventually she ends up being the wife of the king. She is a very, very intelligent and strategic woman who understands what's going on over here. Now we go back to our Mishnah to finish off the last line of the Mishnah. Rosh Hashanah, Kol Bayi Olam Ovrim Lefanav, Kivnei Maron. The Gemara wants to know, what does Kivnei Maron mean? So my Kivnei Maron, Hacha Targimo, Kivnei Imrano. The way that we translate it into Aramaic is, like the lambs that walk, when you're doing Masrot, Maser Behema, they have to walk through the gate one by one, so you can count them in order to assign them the Maser Behema. Mishlokish Amar, Kimalot Beit. Here it says Maron, it could be Beit Choron, which we see in a number of places we bumped into it. In Shas, Malot Beit Choron is a very, very steep incline, and you're on a path that goes up. It's a very narrow path. There are big cliffs on both sides, so you can only walk the single fox. If you try to pass, you will fall off the cliff. It's like the troops of Beit David who are going out to battle. So they pass before the king on their way out to battle. So again, they go out one by one so the king can put his eye on them, give them a bracha, and see that his troops are going out. They're all painted with one swath. So it all happens at once. It's not that they're walking individually, and therefore, Hashem judges each one at a time. The judgment's done all at once. And all of this happens at once. This is all imagery, allegory, that they're walking in single file, as if to indicate that each one gets their own judgment, and Hashem knows. But in truth, Hashem does it all in a moment, and he can see everyone and see everyone's hearts and have the judgment all at once. Samar of Nachman Yitzchak Afanan Namitanina. We also know this from a Tanaic work. Hayotzer Yachadibam Mivin El Kol Maasehem. He who created all their hearts in one, Mivin El Kol Maasehem, understands all their ways. My Kamar. What does it mean? Ilei Maachi Kamar Dibranhu Dekulei Alma Umiyachadibayu Kadodi. That he created the whole world and made all their hearts similar. So we see that no two people are the same. So it's obvious that Hashem, that's not what it means here, that a yotzer yachad libam, that he makes them all of the same heart, or the same thoughts. That's clearly not what it means. Hayotzer ro'eh yachad libam, the creator who sees their hearts together, and it's based on the pasuk before. The pasuk before, this is a perek tehillim that we say on Shabbat, which there it says, in the pasuk before, mashkiach, that Hashem is looking and investigating all the items. So the continuation of that is Hayotzer Yachad Libam. So the one Hayotzer is Mashkiach Yachad Al Libam, Umevin et Kol Maaseihem, and he understands all of their actions. So again, this idea that Hashem in one moment is able to read everybody's hearts, understand everything that's going on, and judge everybody in that one shot, and not they have to walk single file in front of him. So the imagery is for us, not in truth what happens before Hashem. So I think that's what the Gemara is clarifying over here, that this whole idea of Kibnei Maron is for us to get that sensation of judgment and individuality and facing our Creator. But if in terms of the Creator, he does this all in a moment. All right, next Mishnah. Al shisha chodoshim ashluchim yotzim. On 6 months, the messengers go out. After they've established what Rosh Chodesh is or when Rosh Chodesh is, they send out the messengers to the far-reaching places in Eretz Yisrael as well as to the Gola to let them know, inform them as to when Rosh Chodesh was. So this happens for 6 of the months. Yotzim al Nisan mipnei haPesach. They go out on Nisan because they want to know when Pesach should be. So the further that the messengers get, the better they'll know what they get, what can keep one day of Pesach. Al Av mipnei haTanit. In the month of Av because of Tisha B'Av, to know when Tisha B'Av should fall out. Al Elul mipnei Rosh Hashanah. They go out on Elul because of Rosh Hashanah, which the Gemara will discuss, all the Rishonim mentioned over here, is that Elul, meaning Yomot Ezra, was always chaser. The time of Ezra was always 29 days. It was very rare that Elul turned out to be 30th day in Elul. So if you could establish when the Rosh Chodesh of Elul was, then you could almost, with certainty, establish when Rosh Hashanah was. Nevertheless, they did keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. You just have to know which 2 days to keep for Rosh Hashanah. So by establishing when Elul was, you'll know when Rosh Hashanah will be, or at least which 2 days to keep for Rosh Hashanah, where the Safek is. Al Tishrei, they go out on Tishrei, obviously it's not going to help you for Rosh Hashanah, but Mipnei Takanat HaMoladot, because of the remainder of the month. As Rashi says here, for Yom Kippur, Shel Libo Nokfo, Yom Kippur, because if a person doesn't fast on the right day, they're going to be bothered by that. And Sukkot, now by Yom Kippur, there were those that kept 2 days of Yom Kippur, but it doesn't seem to be that that was as broad a practice, keep 2 days of Yom Kippur. So there was this assumption with regards to Yom Kippur that Elul was chaser and that that was the right day of Rosh Hashanah. But in order to clarify that, people don't want to be fasting and then eating on the wrong day, so they used to send out the messengers. And obviously for Sukkot, they wanted to get the messengers there. Al Kislev mipnei Chanukah. On Kislev, they went out to know when Chanukah would fall out. Vel Adar mipnei Apurim. Went out on Adar to establish when Purim was. Sheya Beit HaMikdash Kayam. And in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, Yotzim Af Al Iyar. They went out even on Iyar, Mipnei Pesach Katan or Pesach Sheni. In order to tell people when Pesach Sheni was. So now the Gemara asks, this next section of the Gemara is very important Gemara and has a lot of fundamental ramifications, which is, V'leifku nami at Tammuz v'Tevet. Why don't they, Shlichim, also go out in the month of Tammuz and the month of Tevet? Why? Because of Shivasar b'Tammuz and Asara b'Tevet, which are fast days. Damar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasido. That's what we have in our Gemara. The Girsa Rashi seems to have a Girsa of Amar Rav Chama bar Bizna. Amar Rav Shimon Chasido. My dichtiv. What is meant by the pasuk in Zechariah? Now, the pasuk in Zechariah, the context in which the pasuk in Zechariah is found is actually very important. It's an extremely interesting conversation that takes place. The people have come back to Eretz Israel. They've rebuilt the Mikdash, and now they're living in the time of Bayit Sheni. And they ask a question to Zechariah. Hevke b'cholesh ha-chamishi, hinazer kasher asiti ze kama shanim. Kitzamtem v'svot b'chamishi u'b'shvi'i, v'ze shivim shana, atzom tzamtuni ani. Should I act like I've acted before in the 5th month? The 5th month is Av. Should I continue to fast on Tisha B'Av the way I've done for the last number of years, for the last 70 years while we've been in Galut? So basically what they're asking is, we now have the Bayit rebuilt. The Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. What is the status with regards to the fast days that relate to the Churban HaBayit, the Churban Bayit Rishon? Do we keep those fast days now that we're back here and the Bayit is rebuilt? And it seems like we've reversed what had happened prior. So instead of giving them a straight answer, Zechariah gives them a very ambiguous answer where it's not even clear what the answer is. And he says, "Kamar Shem Tzvakot Leimor." Mishpat emet shvotu. V'chesed v'rachamim asu ish et achiv. Be truthful and just. Do chesed. Have mercy. Take care of your fellow man. V'almana v'yatom v'ger v'ani al tashoku. V'ra'at ish achiv al tachshavu b'ilvavchem. Don't oppress those that are of the lower echelons of society. And don't think. Don't plan evil in your head. And then show a nice face to others. That's in Zechariah Zion, where they ask the question. In Zechariah Chet, again, Ko Amar Hashem, Shavti El Tziom, Shechanti Mitoch Yishlaim, V'nikra Ay Yishlaim, Ir HaEmet, V'Shehar Hashem Tzvakot HaRakodesh. Yishlaim will be now known as the City of Truth. Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakot, Od Yeshvu Zekenim Zekenot Beruchovot Yishlaim, V'ish Min Shanto B'yado Mirov Yamim. People were sitting there with their staves because of the long years that they're living. Ruchovot Ha'ir Yimalu Yiladim V'yiladot Misachakim Beruchovot Ha'an. The children will be playing in the streets. Beviti otam shachnu betoch yishayim vayuli lam v'ani eyalehem elukim be'emet ubitztaka. And I will be their king with emet and staka mentioned again. Tzedek, mishpat, emet. These words recur over and over and over again in Zechariah. It's all about ben adam l'chaviro, how you treat your fellow Jew. And then it says elu advarim asher tasu. This is what you should do. Dibru emet ish et reyu. Speak truthfully with your fellow Jew. Umishpat shalom shiftu b'shareichem. And judge peacefully, meaning that justly and peacefully in your gates. V'ish et rat reyu al tachshavu b'vuchem. Ushvat sheker al te'avu. Speak honestly with your friends. Don't think badly and then plan evil things for them. Don't take false oaths. Shvuot. Ketol ele asher saneti nu Hashem. That's what I hate. Vehi dvar Hashem tzvakot elai leimor. Ko amar Hashem tzvakot, and this is the pasuk that's quoted over here in our Gemara. Tzom harivii, the fast of the fourth month. Tzom hachamishin, the fast of the fifth month. Tzom hashvii, and the fast of the seventh month. Tzom hasiri, and the fast of the tenth month. Iye le Beit Yehuda le sasona le simcha. Will be for Beit Yehuda, for rejoicing and celebration. Ulmaladim tovim, and for chagim, days of goodness. V'emet v'ashalom ehavu, and you should love truth and peace. That's the answer Zechariah gives them. Did you hear clearly what the answer was? Probably not, because it's not clear what he said to them. So that's the answer that Zechariah gives to them about fasting during the time period. What is going to come out of this Gemara? The Gemara is going to quote the pasuk that we just said, and the Gemara is going to put together a basic framework in which this applies. Which is Ko Hashem Mar Hashem Tzvakot Tzom Harivii V'Tzom Hachamishi V'Tzom Hashvii V'Tzom Hasiri Yel Beit Yehuda L'Sason L'Simcha Kari Lehu Tzom, calls them a Tzom V'Kari Lehu Sason L'Simcha, calls them days of rejoicing celebration. B'Zman Sheyesh Shalom Yehu L'Sason L'Simcha. When there's peace, there will be Sason V'Simcha. Ein Shalom, if there's no peace, Tzom, there will be a fast day. So Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says this Hachi Kamar. Bezan sheyesh shalom yehu sason l'simcha. Yesh gezerat malchut tzom. When you're under the auspices of a foreign government and they put decrees on you, tzom. Ein gezerat malchut vein shalom. If there is no gezerat malchut and no shalom, ratzu mitanim, ratzu ein mitanim. Optional. You can decide whether you want to fast or not. Mar says yochi Tisha B'Av nami. So then, why isn't Tisha B'Av also in that optional pile? Why does Tisha B'Av stick out and always is different? Amar Papa, Shani Tisha B'Av, Ho Behuchbulu Bo Tzarot. Because there were multiple Tzarot on it. Now, Huchbulu Tzarot, as Tosafot says, can have two definitions. Damar Mar, Betet B'Av Charav Bayit Berishona U'Bishniya. Beit HaMikdash was destroyed in the first and the second time. Benilkada Beitar, Beitar was captured and destroyed. Benechur Sha'ir, the city was plowed over. These are four out of the five things that are mentioned in the Mishnah in Ta'anit as to what happened or why we have Tisha B'Av, or Tisha B'Av is a fast day. Now Tosafot says we have the same thing in the Mishnah in Ta'anit with regards to Yudzayin B'Tammuz. There are five things that happen on Yudzayin B'Tammuz as well. So what does that mean? Huchpalu Tzarot. So there are two answers that Tosafot gives. One is Churban HaBayit Takifa. There's no comparison to the Churban HaBayit. So that's, even though you have Huk Pulut Tzarot on both days, when you talk about Churban HaBayit, in that context, Tisha B'Av stands out. The other one is, Huk Pulut Tzarot doesn't mean there were multiple Tzarot, but the same Tzarah happened on the same day. Both Bate Mikdash were destroyed on the same day, and that's why Tisha B'Av stands out. So now, what is the status here? The Gemara lays out what is seemingly very interesting, that there is a series here of fast days that are controlled by the circumstances. If it says Man Shalom, Ein Mitanim, you don't fast. If it's Gzeret Machlot, you definitely fast. When you're in between those two, then optional. So now, what is Man Shalom, and what is Man Gzeret Machlot? This turns out to be a major Machloket HaRishonim. You can look in the Rabbeinu Chananel over here, you can look in Rashi. What is Man Shalom? I'll just read you quickly two of them so that you get a sense of what the Rishonim say. The Ramban in Torat Adam has a very famous formulation of this. as well as the Rashba, who is from the school of the Ramban, he has a slightly different formulation. I'll read you the Rashba first. The Rashba says, Bizman Shalom, what is that? Paris. Bizman Shei Shalom, Shisrael, Shuim Al Admatam. Land Bnei Israel are found in their land. So his qualification for Zman Shalom is that when Bnei Israel are on their land. He doesn't say sovereignty necessarily, he just says that they live here. Although that might be, the qualification might be sovereignty, he doesn't say that. Right. He doesn't govern, he doesn't say that that is a governing factor. But Israel be'eretz oyev, when they are in their exile in the enemy's lands, Ela she'en shmad, but there's no shmad. So you see shmad connected to being in the foreign land. So when there's shmad and they're in the foreign lands, it's problematic, then you have to fast for sure. When Bnei Israel in their land, you don't have to fast. And then when it's anything in between, then you get the choice to fast. That's the way he defines it. On the other hand, Rashi later on in the many of the Rishonim here define shalom as bizman. That's what Rabbeinu Chananel says, bizman Beit HaMikdash. Shalom means when there's a Beit HaMikdash. Bizman Shein Shalom means when there is no Beit HaMikdash. Obviously, this has two nafkaminot. Two nafkaminot as is during Beit Sheni. What was the status of the fast days during Beit Sheni? During Beit Sheni, they were Shuim al Admatam. The Jews are here, but not the majority. The Jews are here. The Beit HaMikdash is there, but they don't have sovereignty. They're not autonomous in Eretz Yisrael until the time of the Chashmonaim, when they gain a certain amount of autonomy for a period of time until the Romans show up. That's one question. The second question is regards to today. Right, today, where we are Shuim al Admatan, but we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, what's the qualification of, or the status today of these of days? So here, the Torah Adam, the Ramban and Torah Zavaidna, he says about himself, Teleka Shalom veleka Shmat, Ratzu Mitanim, Ratzu Ein Mitvanim. So the Ramban describes his time period as a place that doesn't have Shalom, but doesn't have Shmat, and therefore it's optional. Perish, Yesh Shalom, what is Shalom according to the Ramban? Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam. When the Beit HaMikdash Kayam, you the Sason or the Simcha, that will be converted. That's what Zechariah is answering them, supposedly. That when the Beit HaMikdash is around, there'll be the Sason or the Simcha. Ein Shalom, Kugmon, Bizman Churban, is the days after the Churban Abayit, Ve'en Shmad, Ve'makom Yadua. But there's no Shmad in any place, Israel. It's very interesting what he says there. That Shmad anywhere, if there's Shmad anywhere amongst the Jews, then that affects everyone. It's not just the piece where it has Shmad, but Shmad means if there are locations where Jews are found and there's Shmad, that's a problem. Ratzu, Rova Tzibur, V'niskamu Shlo Litanot, Ein Beitin Matrichin Alem Litanot. If they came to a consensus, and the Rova Tzibur doesn't want to fast, they don't have to fast. V'achshav, he says, Kfar Ratzu, V'nagu Litanot, Bam, V'kiblu Melehem. They already came to the conclusion and accepted them on themselves as fast days. Fikach asur liyachid lifrotz gidran. So therefore, you no longer have the option anymore. The option was converted from an option into a minhag, and a minhag that became din. So there's no option anymore for not fasting. Choshke midor talalu, and now he's talking about his generation. Choshke midor talalu shir b'amunoteinu shirabu yesh shmad b'Yisrael v'ein shalom. It's clear in our generation there is shmad in the time of the Ramban. V'ein shalom hilkach chayavim akol itanot midivrei kabbalah v'takanat neviim. Therefore, for sure, you have to fast today. V'umistavra. And he says, it seems clear that kulu arba tzumot tanit tziburim. They're all of them have a full force of a tanit tzibur, which means 24-hour fasts with the chamesh dinuim for all of these fast days. He says, v'elayina came into bizman teleka shmad bitelim. Since when there's no shmad, they are batel. Ratzu v'nagul itaubem v'lo ratzu l'negbem v'chumrat talalu. When they re-accepted them, they didn't accept them as full-fledged taniyot tzibur. They accept them only as taniyot for the day without the chamesh dinuyun. Aval mi'ikar atakana vada yasurim hein bekulan. But truthfully, mi'ikar atakana, they should be asur and they should all have a din of a tanit tzibur, like Tisha B'Av, like the Yom HaKippurim. So it's very interesting that the Ramban defines it. Wait, this does have halachic implications. I'll send you all the mikorot on this, all the different opinions of the Rishonim here, about what really transpired during Beit Sheni. Did they keep the Arba Tzomot? And number two is, did they keep Tisha B'Av separate from the Arba Tzomot? Maybe Tisha B'Av has a different standing based on the way the Gemara is set up over here. I'll show you that in the Rambam, in the Perashah Mishnayot, in a second. But the Halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Kol ha-chayavim litanot Arba Tzomot alalu v'as arsu lefrod together. And then, Tzomot alalu chutz mitisha b'av mutarim b'rchitza sikha nilata sandav tashmisha mita v'ein terech lefzik mehem me'od yom. But not 24-hour fasts, and they don't involve the chameshita inuim. So now, Mishabura quotes the Ramban, that when they accepted them, they didn't accept them as full-fledged fasts. And then he says over here, the Mishnah Berurah, Umutarim berechitza. He brings what the Ramban just said, and then he says, Ubal nefesh yachmir bikulam kamal b'tisha b'av. A bal nefesh will be machmir on them like Tisha B'av. Why? Because that was really the ikar din of these fasts. And therefore a person who wants to, and maybe they should keep the fast in their full force. And he says why in the Shaar Tzion? It says, Da'ina matzui gzeirot min ov de gililim. We have gzeirot against Jews. Then we're back to the original status where there's a requirement to have the full-fledged somot, like Tisha B'av. Lefi divrei haramban. V'gam agro b'biro maskim l'divrei haramban. V'ayin b'elio rabo b'shem ashlad d'bal nefesh tarich lefsik b'gam yod yom. There are 24-hour fasts with the chamishet inuim. Very interesting about this idea of whether you have to keep these fasts, this 24-hour fast today, because gzeirat ha-malchut is extant. Now, we do have problems. Jews which are in problematic situations of being attacked in different places. And therefore, maybe there should be a requirement of fasting like Tisha B'Av on the other four fasts. The interesting question, again, is whether Shvuyim al Admatam is enough to call it a Zman HaShalom, because we're back on our land. We're back in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam in the Perish Mishnah, you can see in the back of the Gemara, it's accessible to you. He says, Ubabai Cheni lo hayu mitanim. Says in the time of Baishani they didn't fast. Lo basera b'tevet, lo shivasar b'tamoz, kol ratzui yitneh, o shalo yitaneh. People had a choice, and they chose not to fast, because it was a time when it was Baishani, the bite was extant. Says vayu mitanim Tisha B'Av, av pishu masur l'ritzonam. He says they fasted on Tisha B'Av even though it was optional. So the way that Rambam reads our Gemara is, they kept Tisha B'Av out of option. They didn't have to keep. Tisha B'Av was the same as all the other fasts. But because of Huchbalu Tzarot, they opted in to Tisha B'Av. But they were not required to keep Tisha B'Av. Some people read our Gemara that Huchbalu Tzarot means they had to keep Tisha B'Av even though the other fast days were optional. That the Gemara is distinguishing between optional and non-optional fast days. Tisha B'Av is not governed by this option, whereas the others are governed by this option. So again, this is Machloket Rishonim. I'll send you out. You can look through the Rishonim. But it has obviously ramifications today to the tokef of the fasts that we have today, whether they are minhag or they're takanat nevi'im, which would take a much stronger force with them, and then it would be harder to give dispensations. Again, whether one should be machmir, keep these fast days, 24-hour fast days with chamesh dinim, is there any benefit to that? Does it make sense to do that? Again, that would have to do with what the status or the classification that we have today. And then obviously the status of what means shalom and not shalom is also important in this context. Now Gemara continues. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Arba'a Dvarim Haya Rabbi Kiva Doresh, V'ani Eni Doresh Kemoto. So Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Kiva's Doresh, four things. We don't have one of the four here. The others are found in Tosefta and Sota. One of them is this, that Rabbi Akiva is Doresh this way, and I don't agree. So it's interesting, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is his Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and he says, I don't agree with my Rebbe. Soma Revi, he says, what is the Soma Revi? Zetet B'Tamuz, Shibo Hufka Ayir. That is talking about the fast on the ninth day of Tammuz, because on that day, this city was breached. Shinamar, B'Chodesh HaRevi'i, B'Tishad HaChodesh, fourth month, on the ninth day, the Chazak Arav Ba'ir, the famine had encompassed the entire city. There was no longer any food, but the Baka Ha'ir. And then the city is breached, the walls of the city are breached. So then why is it called the fast of the fourth month? Because it's Revi'i, the Chodoshim. It's in the fourth month. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz is the fourth month. Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the fifth, is the Tisha B'Av, Shibo Nisraf Beit Elokeinu, on which the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. Why am I calling it Chamishi? Why is it called the fifth? Chamishi the Chodoshim. It's the fifth month. Av is the fifth month. Tzom HaShivi'i, what is the fast of the seventh month? Ze Gimel B'Tishrei. That is the third of Tishrei, Shibo Nerag Gedalia Ben Achikam, on which Gedalia Ben Achikam is assassinated. Umi Harago, who killed him? Ishmael Ben Netanya. Harago, he assassinated him. L'meitcha sheshkula mitatan shel tzadikim kisreifat beit elokeinu. To teach you that the assassination of, or the killing of a tzaddik, or the death of a tzaddik, is equivalent to the burning of the destruction of beit elokeinu. For that reason, on Tisha B'Av, we read the Asera Huregei Malchut. That is part of the liturgy of Tisha B'Av because of this agada here, which is Shukula Mitatan Shel Tzadikim Kisreifat Beit Elokeinu. So that's why we speak about the Talmidei Chachamim, or the great ones who are killed or put to death on the day of Tisha B'Av. So b'mai kari le'shvi'i, so why is it called the seventh? Because shvi'i le'chodoshim, it's the seventh month. Seventh month is Tishrei. So ma'asiri ze asara b'tevet. The tenth is asara b'tevet. Shbo smach melech bavela Yerushalayim, that he laid siege to Yerushalayim shnemar. Vayi dvar Hashem elai b'shanat tishi'it. Says by Yechezkel in the ninth year after the first galut that came out of Yerushalayim, b'chodesh asiri, in the tenth month, be'asor l'chodesh, on the tenth of the month, le'mor, ben adam tav d'chad shem hayom etzem hayom hazeh, write down the date that I'm telling you now, because samach etzem hayom hazeh, samach melech bavel Yerushalayim etzem hayom hazeh, that he laid siege to Yerushalayim on this day, on asara b'tevet. V'may kari le'asiri, asiri l'chodeshim. And he calls it the 10th because it's the 10th month. Velo haya ra'oi zeh lichtov rishon. Shouldn't this have been written first? In terms of chronological order, Asara b'Tevet is the first chronologically. They lay siege first, then they breach the walls, then they destroy the Mikdash, and then Gedaliah is assassinated. In terms of chronological order, Asara b'Tevet should have been first, and not last. Velo menichtav kan, so then why is it written last? Kedei lastir chodashim ketikanan. That's to put the months in order. It's going by the order of the calendar, not by the order of the events that are there. That's Rabbi Akiva's position. And then Rabbi Shimon says about that, Vani eini omer kein. I disagree. Ela tzom asri ze chamisha b'tevet. Tzom asri is the fifth of Tevet, not the tenth of Tevet. Shebo ba'at shmua legola shukta ayir. Because that was when the news came to the Gola that the city had been destroyed, had been overcome, had fallen. Shenemar, Vayi, Bishtei Esrei Shana, is on the 12th year, before he had, on the 9th year they laid siege, now in the 12th year, Basiri, in the 10th month, Vachamisha Lechodesh, on the 5th day of the month, Legaluteno, from the Galut, Ba'ilai Apalit, Mirushalayim. One of the escapees, refugees from Yerushalayim comes, Lemor, Huketa Hayir, the city has fallen. So here's the news that the city has fallen, it's on the 5th of Tevet. Vasu yom shmua ki yom sreifa. Obviously, they wasn't coming, kept telling him when it happened. He came on that day. But they made yom shmua, when they found out the information, the equivalent of yom sreifa, which is the day it was burnt. This is a terminology that we'll see come up in Moed Katan, which is that the yom shmua, when you have something called the shmua rechoka, which is someone who's not given the information when a relative that they have to sit shiva for passes away. And the Shiva or the Shloshim, and it passes without them knowing, and they get a Shmua Rechukah, they found out about it later. I mean, today it's less likely to happen, but in times when communication was difficult, or during times of war when communication was difficult, many times the people only found out after the Shiva is over. They have Shmua Rechukah. So this is terminology, Yom Shmua Ki Yom Sreifa. The day of the news is the equivalent of the day of the Sreifa, the burning. I mean, it opens up that wound, it's a fresh wound on that day. So that day, Yom Shmua has a different status than any other day. You don't keep a full Shiva, but that day of the Yom HaShmua has a unique status. So same thing here. V'nirin dvarai midvarav. He says, I must say humbly that what I'm saying makes more sense. Shayani omer al rishon rishon v'acharon acharon. Because the way I have it, it's in chronological order. Because the months are in order, but so is the chronology of what happened. First you have Shiva Sabatamuz, which is the city is breached. Then you have Tisha B'Av, the Mikdash is destroyed. Then you have the assassination of Gedaliah in Tishrei. And then you have the news that comes to the Gola in Tevet. So that's a chronological order. And he turns out that he has the chronology out of order. So that's why I think what I'm saying is better. The Seder Chodeshim. I understand what he did. He did it in the order of the months, not in the order of the events. I have both. I'm the order of the month, plus mine is in chronological order. It's interesting over there, we say in the Slichot on Asara B'Tevet, if you look in there, it mentions a number of days that we should have fasted in Tevet. Not only the 10th of Tevet, but other bad things that happened during Tevet that we should have fasted for. So, I don't think it mentions the 5th day of the month there, but it mentions 8th and 9th as days that we should have fasted as well as the 10th. But there are other Puranot that take place during Tevet. We only fast on the 10th of Tevet, but generally that's the case, and that is why, I'm going back now, on the 9th of Tammuz, the city was breached. So how come we don't fast on the 9th of Tammuz? So the Bavli says, because in the second Beit HaMikdash, it was breached on the 17th of Tammuz. And so we're not going to force people to fast two times in one month in a very short duration. We're only fast once. And since the second Beit HaMikdash is closer to us, and basically reopens the wounds of the first Beit HaMikdash, so therefore we fast on the 17th Tammuz. That's the way the Bavli deals with it. I'd say the same thing by Tevet. We only fast once, even though maybe there are multiple items we should have fasted for, because we're not going to impose on the tzibur multiple fasts. We take the most significant event, and we make that the fast day, and that's a Asarah b'Tevet. Yerushalmi has a different answer. Yerushalmi says that there was siege laid to Yerushalayim, and the siege caused them to lose track of the dates. And they said it was the 9th of Tammuz, even though it was really the 17th of Tammuz. So why did the Navi write? The Navi is not governed by that. Why did the Ravi write the 9th? He wrote down what they were thinking. He wanted to write down what they thought the date was, even though that's not the correct date. That's the answer of the Yerushalmi, that it really both happened. The city was breached twice, the 17th and the first bite, and the second bite, and the 9th is actually the wrong date. Right? That's the way Yerushalmi solves the problem. The Bavli does not do that. All right, now, Itmar. Rav v'Rabbi Chanina Amre Batla Megillat Tanit. Megillat Tanit is no longer valid. Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Amre Lo Batla Megillat Tanit. Megillat Tanit is still in effect. Rav v'Rabbi Chanina Amre Batla Megillat Tanit. Haki Gamar. B'zman sheyesh shalom yulus otzon l'simcha. Based on the pasuk in Zechariah, that when there is shalom, so now here shalom really seems to indicate that we're talking about when the Beit HaMikdash is extant. That's why Rashi translates here, Yesh Shalom. Then they will use the Sason the Simcha. You'll have those celebrations. Ein Shalom, Tzom. When there is no peace, then it's a fast day. Vachadami, Kihani. And the celebrations that are in Megillat Tanit are the same as the fast days. They are governed by the same rulings, even though they're not the same thing. One is Divrei Nevi'im and the fast days. What is in Megillat Tanit? It's a list of holidays in Aramaic. And then there's what's called the Suklion, which is the explanation that comes afterwards about what those fast days are. It gives you more detail about what they are. Each of these days marks a unique or special event that took place. Most of the events are between the time of the rule of the Chashmonim when they took over until the Romans enter. That's where most of the items are found. There are some a little before, some a little after, but most of them are found in that main area. And most of them were celebrations of either victories of the Chashmonim, victories of the Rabbanan over the Tzdukim, different days. And all those days are days where you're not allowed to have hesped and tanit. You're not allowed to declare fast days. You're not allowed to have eulogies. Some of them are even more powerful. We can't even do it the day before, not only the day itself. Included in that list are Chanukah and Purim. They're in that list of holidays there. So what he's saying is, all those holidays that are celebrated have to do with the fact that the Mikdash was extant. We're celebrating our successes, but it's in the face of the Mikdash being there. And that's what makes the list of Sonal Simcha. When the Mikdash is not there, there's no longer Sason and Simcha. So just like the fast days come back, so due to these celebratory days that are mentioned in Megillat Tanit, they go away as well. That's the position of Rav and Rabbi Chanina. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amrei, Lobat la Megillat Tanit, Hani hu detalinu rachmana b'minyan beit Mikdash. Only the fast days are connected to the Mikdash. Aval hanach t'kaimi kaimi. But the Megillat Tanit is a separate entity. It's not governed by those rules. They have their own rules. They're not governed by what's said in Zechariah. Meiti Rav Kahana Masse B'Gazru Tanit B'Chanukah B'Lud. There was an incident where they, on Chanukah itself, they were Gozer Tanit. V'Yarad Rabbi Elazar V'Rachatz. Rabbi Elazar as a sign of defiance. This was a protest. How do you protest? You go and take a bath on a day that they said there's a Tanit. And he goes and takes a bath. Rabbi Yeshua v'siper. Yeshua went and got a haircut. So they were protesting what they had done, and so they did. Amru lahem. And Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Elazar said to the people, Suvi tanu amashi anitem. You have to fast on the fast day that you had. You fasted during Hanukkah, which is not allowed. You have to do a fast day to a fast. Same thing as like a tanit chalom. Right? Tanit chalom, where if you fast on Shabbat, which isn't allowed, but you are allowed to fast for a tanit chalom on Shabbat. But then you have to take a fast day for the fact that you fasted on Shabbat. So you have to do a fast day to rectify the fast day that you did that was at the wrong time or not supposed to be at that time. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Shani Chanukah. Rabbi Yosef answers on behalf of Rav and Rabbi Chanina that Chanukah has a different status, the Ika Mitzvah. Because there's a mitzvah with it. So I'm like Abaye. Abaye says to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, V'tivatel ihi v'tivatel mitzvata. Alright, so if it goes, so does the mitzvah. If Chanukah is no longer relevant, then the mitzvah of Chanukah also goes together with it. El Amar of Yosef Shani Chanukah, the Mefarsim Nisa. That, by Chanukah it's different, because Rashi says Mefarsim Nisa, it's unbelievable what Rashi says here. Varhu Galui Lekol Yisrael, Ayadesh Nagubo HaMitzvot. Some of the holidays are not so popular or known, well known. Chanukah is so well known because there's a mitzvah associated with it. So everybody knows about the holiday of Chanukah. And they made it like a Torah minhag, and therefore it's not right to be mevatel it. So Rashi talks about the Mifarsim Nisa here as being the fact that the Jews themselves know about the holiday and have made it into a important holiday. Because of that, we're not going to undermine it, because when you undermine things like that, it takes away from the power of minhag, it takes away from the power of established minhagim and dinim or takanot chachamim. So sometimes it's better to leave things in place than to be mevatalem. That's kind of how Rashi is describing it over here. You obviously could have answered that, Shani Chanukah, the Mefarsim Nisa, which is that there's an additional aspect to it here, which is the Nes. By Chanukah, not only is it just like a victory, or a day where you could say that Yad Hashem was there, but Benistar, Yad Hashem there was big galoy, because Mefarsim Nisa, there's a Nes that needs to be publicized that Hashem had. So Chanukah is different than the other holidays, because it has a Nes galoy, not just a Nes Nistar. You could have explained it that way. Rashi does not explain it that way. Motiv Rav Achar Bar Huna Betzlata Betishrei Betelat Adgarta Minshtarayo. On the 3rd of Tishrei is one of the days mentioned in the Megillat Tanit. It's a day that they stopped putting the Shem Hashem in Shtarot. Then here comes the explanation. The explanation, again, is from the Sukhlion. It gives the explanation to this. That's all that's written in Megillat Tanit, that Aramaic phrase, which is on the 3rd of Tishrei is a day that you can't fast and you can't have a spade because they eliminated putting the Shem Hashem into the Shtarot. Shnigzra, Machut Yavan, Gzera, or the other Gersa in some Gemarot is Shmad, Shlo Azkir Shem Shemayim Alpiem. That you're not allowed to mention the Shem Hashem. Ushigavra Machut Chashmonai. So once the Chashmonim took power, and they were able to throw the Greeks out, and they took autonomous rule, Vinitzchum, and they were victorious, Itkinu Shem Askrim Shem Shemayim Afilu Mishtarot. In order to reinforce the Shem Shemayim, that they were able to do that, and they overturned the Gzerah of Yavan, they put it, not only that you could say Shem Shemayim, but you could put it in Shtarot. And they used to write, V'kach ha'yokutvim, V'shnat kach v'kach l'yochanan goin gadol, V'kel el'yon. And so they mention the Shem Hashem next to the dating of the Shtar, that it's in this year of Yochanan goin gadol, he's the Kohen gadol, the Kel el'yon. They added that little phrase at the end, the description, who is he a Kohen gadol for? To Kel el'yon, mentioning the Shem Hashem. Ukshashamu chachamim badavar. Once the chachamim got wind of this, amru lemachar zipore et chovo. What's going to happen? Tomorrow the guy is going to pay back the debt that he owes. Dimse shtar mutal bashpa. And you don't need this shtar anymore. They're going to rip it up and throw it into the garbage. Ubitlum. So they went ahead to be mevatel because what they were afraid of was that the Shem Hashem was going to end up in the garbage in the end. So they went ahead to be mevatel it. Vota yom asu yom tov. And they made that day Yom Tov. Why did they make a Yom Tov? Because the people accepted the decree of the Chachamim, the Takanat Chachamim. It was a widespread practice to put the Shem Hashem in the Shtarot. And when the Chachamim went to be Mevatlet, they didn't think they would succeed because it was such a widespread practice, but it did succeed. So they made that day into a Yom Tov because the Takanat held. And since the Takanat held, the Chachamim felt it was a day for a Yom Tov, for celebration, that a Takanat Chachamim was able to overcome this Minhag that was so widespread. When it happened, it's not clear. It's pretty clear that it didn't happen during the time of Yochanan Goen Gadol. It might have happened either B'yanai HaMelech, who was after him, who did not have a great relationship necessarily with the Chachamim. He killed many of them, like Marin Kiddushin. Or after him was Shlom Tzion HaMalka, who has a very good relationship with the Chachamim. So one of those periods, that's probably when this Bitul takes place. So he says about this, V'isakadatcha batla migila tanit. So he's thinking, if you think that Megillat Tanit was wiped out, I mean, he's talking about Rav and Rabbi Chanina, then Kamaita B'tzul, they're already getting rid of the original ones, Achronaita Mosifim, this he sees as being a very late institution, this celebration on the 3rd of Tishrei, that's why I'm saying it have to happen after the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, because they're saying it's a very late institution. So here you have a very late institution. If you tell me that they were Mevato, everything that was in Megillat Tanit, but then you're adding on another date much later on. What are you talking about? That's in the time of the Chashmonaim when the Mikdash is still extant. That's not a time when the Mikdash is destroyed. If the Mikdash is destroyed, then you're into what happens in Zechariah. That's Zman Shalom versus Zman Gzerat Malchut or Zman of difficulty, Zman Sarah. That's the difference between the Mikdash being there and not being there. All of this Megillat Tanit and what you're asking about, that all transpired during the time that the Beit HaMikdash was extant. So now, we'll stop here. The Gemara is going to ask the most obvious question tomorrow, which is, what do you mean, the 3rd of Tishrei? Gimel Tishrei is Tzom Gedalia. So we have to deal with that in tomorrow's daf.